This life has its troubles. This is something that no one in this room is unfamiliar with. You know this. And as we work our way through this life of joy and sorrow, we have to, you know, do the best we can to try to make sense of it. How do we make sense of it, just in terms of the way things work, but also some of the bigger questions, the kind of existential, the meaning of life kind of questions. And honestly, questions about God. Where is God in the midst of tragedy? Where is God in the midst of brokenness, heartache, disaster, death? For a long time, many have tried to wrap their arms around this. Christians have a particular point of view in this, but if you talk to different Christians, there will be different nuances, maybe even kind of conflicting ideas about things. One of the set of understandings about God that came about at a time in the life of people where folks were really trying to hold on to what they could actually see and touch and feel. You know, this idea that really kind of came through a period called the Enlightenment, where people were expecting that the supernatural, hard to pin down, hard to understand. So let's just kind of go with what we know. And at a time in our intellectual life, a clock was this amazing thing. Sometimes we casually wear watches on our hands now, but if you think about and kind of remember some of the early work to try to figure out what time it was and how important it was for navigation, how important it was for the world, to be able to have an accurate clock was a huge thing. And so one of the models that emerged about who God would be is a clockmaker, right? Because if you spend some time inside of a clock, inside the mechanical workings of a clock, it's extraordinarily intricate and hard to even imagine how all the pieces work. I know this personally because as a young person, I took a couple apart. And as a result of that, I had to attempt to try to put them back together. And it did not work out well. There were some stern parental conversations involved with that because it was intricate and hard. So one of the ideas that came about who God would be is this this clockmaker that could, because of the capacity, the ability to deal with the intricacies, kind of set up all of those intricacies so that they would work well. But the clockmaker doesn't necessarily show up and wind your clock. The clockmaker doesn't necessarily come and sort of like do the maintenance work that it would take care of. The clockmaker isn't necessarily invested in what happens inside the home because of that clock. I want to offer that as beautiful as that idea that God would be capable of setting something in motion that is intricate and powerful, I want to argue, and lots of my Christian brothers and sisters have argued, that God is much more. God is much more than that clockmaker that can set it up and walk away. In fact, our scriptures point to that very thing. Debbie just read for you a passage from 2 Corinthians where Paul and Paul's community is writing to say, "May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. He is the compassionate Father and God." compassionate, concerned with what is happening, concerned to the point of entering into life in an intimate and personal way. The compassionate Father and God of all comfort. Comfort, which is not an easy thing to do. If you've ever kind of spent some time with someone who's really freaking out, really having some difficulty, it's not something you can just walk up and pat them through. It's not something that you can come up and say those simple words that flip the switch to, oh, it's going to be okay. To comfort is to spend time, to invest, to work into. Paul writes, he is the one who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves receive from God. And certainly as we remember those men and women who have been servants inside of our community, we know that they have had an impact on incredible numbers of people's lives. And they're certainly deserving of the comfort, and their families of the fallen are deserving of the comfort today. And I'm so glad that we're part of this remembrance moment. God is not indifferent to what we are experiencing. And we can talk about the different dynamics, the causes for all these things. But God is not indifferent to that and the suffering that comes from it. In fact, one of the things that I have kind of, you know, really sort of come to understand that God is the God who lives in the sacred spaces between us as we try to comfort each other. And one of the key ways is that of empathy. So one thing I didn't tell you at the beginning of this sermon is that today's sermon comes with a cartoon. Anyone like cartoons? Lots of people in this room. It's not Saturday morning cartoons, but let me offer this short piece from a person named Brené Brown, and it reflects on this whole idea of empathy. Devante.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, you can climb down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, I had a miscarriage. at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
Is the God of connection. God who came into this world, from a different reality and entered into our reality of poverty, of suffering, of dealing with the common human encounters, lived those with us, and taught us how to make sense of them, how to understand ourselves in the midst of all this, how to understand God in the midst of this. That is the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Father of all comfort. The minister of reconciliation, of connection in the midst of that. So we are not alone. And as we work our way forward in God's grace and mercy and peace, we are connected with God. And we are called to be instruments of that connection as well. So I have used that video to train pastors for 15, 20 years now. It's a common part of the work that we are constantly trying to make sense of. How do we care? How do we work? I am not always the most empathetic. I blow it sometimes. Some of you have dealt with that. We all can do better. And that's what we are called to do as we love as God loves. So just as much as we are suffering, just as much as our neighbors are suffering, we are called to serve with God and to do this work. Just as we remember the work of our community servants, we are all called to that work. And I invite you to that, invite you to consider how you are a part of that. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.